Let me set the record straight for a minute. Hate, I get it, say it with him. I don't give a f- I'm cool with it. Play a peep the fans with him.
Welcome one and all back to the hot stove. That's right, the top Twitter space in the Canadian Premier League, brought to you by the Capital C Supporters Group. Be sure to grab a friend and crank up those speakers, because tonight we will be taking a brief look back at our 2-0 win against Valor FC, and then diving headlong into our upcoming match against York United coming up on Saturday. My name is John Hopkins, and I'll be your host for this evening. And I'm joined by a fellow CCSG member and regular co-host on the Hot Stove, Christian Chubak. Christian, how are we feeling tonight? And it wouldn't be a hot stove without some technical difficulties, quite frankly.
Christian hasn't actually accepted or asked to speak yet, so he's not available for you.
Well, in that case, we'll give him a second to figure out his tech. One of the challenges that we've been having has been various hosting duties. So that, of course, creates some little complications. We're trying a new system today, so hopefully it will work well once it gets rolling. But while we wait for Christian, I'll cover a little bit of quick housekeeping before we dive into it. If this is your first Hot Stove, here's a quick breakdown of how the show works. It is a proper radio show where each week we have two hosts, this week myself and Christian, to discuss some questions about the week's upcoming matches before we turn to you, the lovely audience, for your thoughts, opinions, and hot takes. Rather than having to call in, all you have to do, if you'd like to join us in this conversation, is hit the request to talk button. Once you do, raising your hand lets us know if you have something to add on a given topic. Otherwise, we may just turn to those participants that we have for a little bit of their opinions and their takes. But raising hands makes it a little easier on us so that we're not putting too many people on the spot. Let's check in with my co-host, Christian. How you doing, buddy?
I'm feeling pretty good, but it's hard not to when you're sitting undefeated on top of the CPL table going into match week 10.
It's a great feeling coming in. We're on a streak. You know, it's hard not to be excited. The Euros are starting soon. There's so much excitement in the air. So, Christian, let's say, you know, I want to list in the Hot Stove. Where are they?
Well, John, for 2024, the Hot Stove will be live every Wednesday at 8 p.m. For any updates, be sure to follow us on Twitter and on Instagram at Capital City SG.
And if you happen to miss the Hot Stove, have no fear, because they will be posted as podcasts on all of your favorite podcasting platforms Thursday morning. Be sure to check them out. And, you know, after you get to sit on a few of the ideas that you might have heard, you might think a little differently of them. So be sure to check those out. We've got a couple more announcements to make. Christian, take it away.
Do you love Aunt Letty, but you don't feel like you're as plugged in as you'd like to be? There is a solution. Become a CCSG member today, where $20 gets you access to our members-only Discord, which includes first access to a lot of CPL insider information, first access to road trips, exclusive merch, and much, much more. If you're a student, you get a $5 discount, bringing your total down to $15 for the year. If you are already a member, make sure to regularly check our members-only page on our website and to check the announcements channel on our Discord for the latest. Both of our road trips should be open for deposits and payments later this week, so be sure to keep an eye out if you are a member.
While you're on the website, be sure to check out the latest from our writers team. They've been working around the clock. We just posted a couple hours ago, match day in review. In case you need a refresher before we jump into the Valor breakdown, you can go give that a quick read. We also have the Forward Press summarizing all pre- and post-game pressers, and of course, the return of our weekly player ratings by the wonderful Patrick Gibson, so you can always see how each player did on the day.
And the writers aren't the only ones cooking up content. Our social media team has been working hard as always, as has the team putting together Full Time, who have new episodes every Thursday following a home game to share reactions from our fans after each match. Some tech issues meant that only a few shorts can be posted from the Halifax game, but keep an eye out for them. As well, ATO After the Whistle is our weekly podcast, which breaks down the game previous and answers all of your questions that you may have. This week's episode dives into the clash between Ottawa and Valor last weekend on the road, with hosts Johnny MacArthur and Joey Huneau continuing to offer insightful thoughts on each performance.
And finally, but certainly not least, the Glean Central Pub is CCSG's home pub for the 2024 season. Join us there all season long for pregame and postgame, and of course, for our wonderful watch parties. There will be some pregame fun, and it's always a great conversation, so I hope to see you there this Saturday. But that's not the only time that you should come by and say hello. We're also going to be there for the Euros, the Olympics, and of course, Copa America, which includes watch parties for every single Canada game in that tournament. The first one, of course, is coming up fast against Argentina next week at 8 p.m., so be sure to come early to snag yourself a seat. That's at the Glebe Central Pub, 779 Bank Street, Ottawa's Temple of Football.
That's certainly a game you don't want to miss. And another reminder that if you'd like to talk today, please hit the Request to Speak button to join in on all of the fun so we can hear your lovely, lovely voices. And don't forget to raise your hand if there's a topic that we are tackling that you'd like to chime in on.
All right, without further ado, let's dive in. Christian, what a refreshing game after a really disappointing week with the CAN champ and league play. This felt like a real return to form for Ottawa. You know, the first half had Valor showing some promise, but our defense was up to the task, only allowing a single shot on target from inside the box, which Ingham had all the way. While we were awarded a very questionable penalty, Ottawa still played the more complete game of the two teams and were rewarded with a resounding 2-0 win, extending our goal differential against Valor to an insane 11-0 for 2024. Christian, what are your thoughts on the last match?
You know, like you mentioned it, 11-0 this season and just through games is quite a huge achievement. So it was quite nice to return to winning ways. You know, the last week was certainly disappointing in terms of Ottawa this season. But like you mentioned, you know, Ottawa didn't play the greatest either first half or second half of football that they played this season, but they came out with the win, which is something that we can all be happy about. You know, there's calls about the penalty, but regardless of that, you know, it's a 2-0 win. I think that with the flow of the game, that Ottawa probably would have come out on top, and that was a fair result regardless, you know. And I'm always happy when Sammy Salter scores. You know, it wasn't the cleanest to finish, but he made it work. And, you know, it's always nice to see him score. So having good attacking options to seal the game off for Ottawa this year is certainly an improvement. So 3 points on the road coming back to TD Place, you know, it's certainly a nice thing to have.
Yeah, being one of the top teams on the road this year really harkens back to that 2022 season where we were better away than we were at home. It's hard to say that given the great performances we've seen this year at TD Place. But that's still yet to be seen. A lot of season to run. And really, I think the penalty was thanks to our double agent in Noah Verhoeven. We love you, buddy. Thank you, as always. I think Salter's solo effort has gotten, you know, I know you and I are big Salter fans. I think some people are like, oh, he just whiffed on it and got lucky. I think he knowingly put that off the back of his heel. Because he wanted to just slide it right under the keeper. I thought it was beautiful. I loved every moment of it. And yeah, I think while it might not be go down in history, we'll say, as our best game of 2024, that first 20, 30 minutes, we absorbed the pressure well, and we were kind of managing ourselves, playing out of the back a little bit. It's really that second half where we took control, and I think it became a serious contest. Of course, Matteo Debrienne is a big standout for me. He often is with the amount of energy he brings on the pitch. But, you know, I think that's a game that the lads will be proud of and are happy to look back on. Christian, I see your hand up, so I'll turn back to you, and then we'll head over to Bryce for his thoughts.
You know, I didn't mention it, but I'm so happy you did. CPL Player of the Month for the last month, Matteo Debrienne. I really wish that strike that he had in the first half had went in. Man, it would have been so nice to see him get off the mark for the season this year. And to do it at home against your former team, what way would it have been better?
It would have been magical. And just a correction, he was Player of the Week, of course. Ruben Del Campo was the player for the month of May. And it's hard to keep it all straight when we've got so much talent on this roster. Anyway, that's enough of us gushing. Bryce, what did you think of the Valor game?
Well, I just want to say I'm not sure that the Sammy Salter has ever done anything intentionally, because if he does, he wouldn't have that haircut. That's all I'm going to say about that. I don't really care if the penalty was earned or not. We needed a break in that game, and once we got that break, we didn't look back. There was no point in the second half that it looked like Valor was going to do anything of worth on the field. So I'm glad that our team is now playing that way, that we can expect them to go out, we can expect them to get a lead, we can expect them to hold a lead, and I think that's great. I was a little upset that the Debrian didn't find the net in Winnipeg, but that just makes me optimistic that he can do it this weekend in front of his family at home.
Yeah, and I mean, he put so much of himself on the field that it's hard not to love him, and it's hard not to really root for the kid. So I'm hopeful that we'll see a little bit of extra magic this week against York to really solidify him in the hearts of everyone as much as he's still in mine. Reminder, if you'd like to speak, hit the request to talk button and join in on the conversation. Raise your hand if there's any topics you want to tackle. Otherwise, honestly, the only other fun fact I have about that Valor game is we are officially in the positive category, going 7-3-6 against them all time. So hopefully we can continue that through the rest of the season. But now for the meat and potatoes, let's turn to this match this week. It is our second match of the year against York United and our second at home. That first home game that we played against them to kick off the season brought home a 2-1 win to start us out on our win streak, which was also our first win against York at home, which is an unfortunate statistic, but one that I'm glad we get to look back on rather than think about in the future. With an all-time record of 2 wins, a whopping 10 draws, and 4 losses. History suggests that any given game between these Ontario rivals will likely be a draw. York currently sit in sixth place with 11 points on the outside looking in for the playoffs. However, with the exception of us at the very top and Halifax at the very bottom of the table, it is a pretty tight competition, with York only trailing Vancouver, who sits in second by 3 points. That means a win here is key for them, keeping pace with the six teams looking to climb and hold on to those playoff spots. And it's important for us to continue to build on that win streak, continue to pull ahead, and set a new club record for that win streak. So, Christian, with all this, with so much at stake, how are you feeling about our matchup against York?
I am feeling very positive about York United. You mentioned it earlier this year that we got our first win at home at TD Place against York United. So that is obviously a big bit of momentum for Ottawa this season. But we haven't really looked like a team that has been struggling to get 3 points. It's either been 3 points or a very late like 2-2, like a scramble for the 1-1 or the 2-2 and get the 1 point. So I'm not really sure. The history isn't kind for Ottawa in terms of draws against York United, but I think that there's a lot of history to be changed this season, especially in terms of the squad that Ottawa have got. So, I mean, looking back on it, they're going to be kind of an unknown quantity, especially coming into it with a new manager, a little bit of turnaround on the team. I mean, obviously we've played them once before, so I'm hopeful. I'm not really too worried. They've got some good players, but we're not really too sure if they're going to be out on the pitch this weekend. So, yeah, there's nothing really too scary about York United. I'm looking forward to Ottawa continuing the form that we're on, and maybe setting a couple more records this year.
I've let people not worry on this show before, and I've been bitten for it. So I'm gonna keep being concerned about a lot of this opposition. The Canadian Premier League, there's no easy games. And I think York has always played us really hard. They have made us drop a lot of points against them. And again, they're winning against Atleti over the course of our history. So it's something that I don't know what it is about the way York plays us. I don't know if they're egged on by, our chance, by the pressure, by the ability to bloody a nose of a rival. what have you. You know, there's a lot of locker room material for our team. You know, you put it up on the board, you know, the media pumping our tires that we're the team to beat, we're the Galacticos or whatever else. You know, the fact that, you know, they want to be the top team in Ontario, but haven't really gotten a shot against Forge. You know, there's a lot of those little elements that I think York can take advantage of morale-wise to really come in guns blazing. But let's turn to some listeners. Eddie, welcome to the show. What are your thoughts on the upcoming York game?
I mean, York's always a difficult game. This is their World Cup final. They like to beat us. They like to play tough against us. Doesn't matter how bad they are, they always show up against us, especially at home. However, this season is much different for compared to every other season. On one hand, they do have the new coach bounce, but on the other hand, you look at our team and look how we're playing. So, to be honest, I know the history with us. I know how close we are. I expect another close game. But I honestly can see us coming out with a win. I think we're just a much more talented team. I think we have a lot more to play for. I think the Valor game gave us some confidence. But yeah, York's always dangerous. But this season, there's a different Atletico Ottawa team, man.
You know, it's a lot is kind of different this year, and there's that special magic in the air, and I'm really hopeful that we can take advantage of that. But you do have some pretty impressive moments out of York United this year. I mean, I'm not sure how many folks got to watch their last game, but the young Ukrainian kid Marky, he had a phenomenal finish for the first goal of that game. Well, a lot of people will talk about the second goal. It was a golazo, and oh, what a beautiful fire. You know, I think that was more an Irving mistake. So there's always that element of luck, and I think York has always had it against us. But Bryce, what are your thoughts?
I mean, a lot of people were worried last week against Valor and thinking that was like some kind of trap game. And I've got that feeling about this week, just because of the way York does get up for these games against us and the way York gets up for playing us at TD Place. So I think this is the game that I would be more worried about in our schedule. That said, with the team we have this year and with the way they play and with the number of bodies we have, I'm not as worried about this. I have no doubt that we can come back out there and do the same thing we did against them earlier this season and win this game. They're still getting used to a new coach, you know, like sure it's a new guy and they're trying to play well for him, but you know, it takes some time to gel. It takes some time for those systems to be in place. And I think maybe they had a good jump against Vancouver, but we're not Vancouver. And I think we have a lot more going for us right now than they do. I think we're going to be fine at home this weekend.
And we will talk a little bit about that coaching change in a few minutes. But first, I know that Christian's not worried, which worries me. But I gotta know, is there any key talent pieces on this York side that stand out to you? They, you know, when you think York United, who pops into your head, Christian?
You know, I'll mention the two standouts from last week first, because as much as they were standouts last week, I'm not really too worried about them in the overall scope of things. You know, that Marky Yevsky, Marky goal, Wojtekovsky, however you're going to say it, I'm not going to say it right. But however you say it, I don't think it was as impressive as a lot of people make it out to be. I mean, I think there was a lot of impressive personal play in the build-up, you know, but I think that the defense could have been a lot better, and I'm not the biggest fan of Ingham, especially that second goal. You know, a lot of people did talk about it like some sort of golazo, but it was not better than that Manny Aparicio strike earlier in the year. So I'm not really too worried overall about their squad. I think that they made a lot of smart signings. I mentioned this earlier in the year, the first time we had the hot stove on them. I'm a big fan of Sturing, Leon, a couple of the defensive signings that they made, but I'm not too overall impressed with Vincenzini so far, but I guess it's a long season, and we'll see how that plays out. But when I think of York this year, the main threat, especially this weekend, is going to be Selanovic, the man from Liechtenstein. I'm a big fan of him so far this season. I think he's played well, and I think he's definitely on the upper echelon of CPL talent.
Yeah, having an attacking winger of his quality, I mean, he's got 2 goals in 6 appearances. And he was away from the team last week. He should be returning this week, from what I've gathered. But he is a serious threat. And I know there's a few more on my mind, but I'll turn to Eddie first. Anybody on this team you're worried about?
I don't know if they're playing. I don't know what's going on there. But Brian Wright, Austin Ricci, they love to play against us. They like to score against us. They're always threats. And I think, sometimes our defense likes to switch off, and they're the type of players that really can punish us. You look at the first game of the season, if we started off long asleep and, Ricci missed an open net, but that game could have completely been different end result if he put that in the net. So, those are two players to watch. If they're playing, our defense has to be awake from minute one, or else they can punish us right off the bat.
Yeah, both missed time last week as well. Austin Ricci was at a wedding in Italy, so we're not sure if that, will hang that a little bit of a hangover will lead into the week and prevent him from training. So we're not sure about his status. Brian Wright, of course, has had a much, much better year thus far than he did last year, with 4 goals and 3 assists over 7 games. He seems to be injured. We're not sure on a timeline for that return, so it's possible that he plays, it's possible that he's staying home. Little bit of uncertainty there. And then I'll kick it over to Bryce. Anyone on this York side you're worried about?
Brian's hurt, or is it just his pride?
It's hard to tell. It's hard to tell with Brian. But according to the York United injury reports, he is injured.
Okay. No, I don't think there's anyone in particular I'm worried about. I am worried about the start to the game. I didn't like the start we had in Winnipeg. Not that we weren't, in that game, but I don't want to go. I don't want another game like Halifax where we go down 2 goals and then battle back. I need our team to come out strong from the hop and get that first goal.
It really gives us that energy to go all 90 minutes. And before I pass it back over to Christian, there's one person we haven't mentioned who is also a bit of a question mark for Saturday, and that's Mo Babouli. He is a pretty important captain, I think, in this York squad. He's very dangerous on set pieces, and he has been out with a back injury. Again, whether or not that is an injured pride or not, I can't speak to. However, he was not available for the Vancouver game, and their injury report did not suggest that he was necessarily close to a return or not. So, a little hard to tell exactly where a lot of those players stand. And we'll talk a little bit about the injury bug that seems to be being passed around the league right now. But I'll pass it over to Christian for one last word on this York squad before we talk a little bit about the gaffer leading it.
Yeah, I just wanted to echo what Bryce said. I really think that starting a game this year for Ottawa is key. The first half is important for Ottawa. We saw if we didn't get control in the first half in the CP or the CanChamp game against Pacific that we kind of just crumbled. So it's going to be important for us to get the first half against York underway and play our good possession attacking kind of football that we've been kind of used to this year. So I also echo that, yeah, I hope we don't see Brian Wright and Mo Babouli on the pitch, and I hope they stay injured and they can also shove it. So, thank you.
Well, there you have it, folks. They can indeed shove it. And there's been a pretty big change that we're going to talk a little bit about. Of course, Martin Nash was relieved of duties on May 21st after starting the season 2-1-4, including a CanChamp loss. And now a new contestant, a big brother, if you will, has come in from Mexico to help lead the side. That is Benjamin Mora. Who just finished his first game as coach last week with a draw at home against Vancouver. It was a pretty cagey affair and came down to a couple of kind of weird goals, frankly, including probably the most disgraceful penalty in terms of people being in legal positions I've ever seen. But outside of maybe some challenges with discipline on penalties, and that also goes for Vancouver as well. We're a bit of a mess. How much do you think this change is going to improve or change the York United that we faced back in April, Christian?
You know, I think York United this season are definitely taking on a little bit of a Mexican flair in terms of their new owners, their new coaches, and a couple of players on the playing staff. So it's going to be interesting to see. But I just want to give a quick shout out to Benjamin Mora for having worked in Malaysia, a country very near and dear to my heart, having lived there for a little bit. But no, I think he's one of the better coaches in the CPL in terms of his resume. I think he brings a lot of things that are exciting to York United fans. You know, I think that they've struggled a little bit under Martin Nash and trying to enjoy good attacking football. You know, they've had a little bit of a here and there start this season. You know, they've had a couple wins and a couple losses that are quite embarrassing. So I think it was definitely the right decision to let him go. And, you know, time will only tell for Benjamin Mora. You know, I wish him well. Obviously, I don't wish him well this weekend, but in the long term, a better York United and a better rivalry for Ottawa is only a better thing. You know, it's already a tough-fought affair, but if Ottawa get the reins starting this year, you know, if we win a couple more games this year and turn the tides in the all-time games, I think the story will read a little bit differently.
I wish him all the best in his big brother pursuits when he, you know, returns to that part of his life. And that is all I'll give him for that. I do have to say, though, I am very impressed with the caliber of coaches that teams have recently really been able to kind of add in. You know, I think Gottby is a similar kind of profile in terms of the level that he's coached at, a lot of, you know, the success and the ability to really perform has been a similar kind of story. So being able to bring more into the league, I think, is a great boost for morale across the league in terms of being able to attract that coaching talent and really bring in something special. But I'll turn it over to Eddie. What do you think of this new coach for York United?
I mean, it's obviously an improvement on Martin Nash, but that's not that hard. It's great to see some high talent coming in, like everyone's saying, to coach York. In terms of our match, at the end of the day, I don't think there's any coach in this league right now who has the players to find a way to really beat Ottawa. I haven't seen it yet. I obviously see Merriman came out with Pacific. Strategy was to hammer us quickly. But the second they sat back, we were creating chances. You look at Halifax, had a similar strategy. But the second they sat back, we started creating chances. This Ottawa team is way too stacked with skillful players. Now, the second you sit back, we're going to create some chances. So maybe he has some Mexican style that's going to surprise us on, you know, on the. But we're at home. We're at home. We're playing in front of crowds. We're flying right now in the season. I don't see a game where he will bring a strategy where they're coming at us nonstop. If he sits back, I think we get him hammered. I don't think he is ready yet to beat us right now. Maybe a little bit later. Maybe I'm eating my words right now, but he's good. But I don't think he has enough time to gel right now to catch us by surprise.
Bryce, you know, I'm not sure how you feel about it in terms of coaching changes and how long it takes, but do you think Mora's in a better position than Nash was when he left in May?
Well, the one thing with coaches is how they control the locker room. So, you know, at the point where York was, maybe Nash wasn't in control there. And who knows? Maybe the new coach has a better handle on those things, or maybe these guys have more to prove with a new coach. So I think it's one thing to come in with your plan. It's another thing to get your team to buy into your plan and what you're doing. And that's assuming that the front office isn't the one that's setting that he's not just kind of following a game plan that's already been passed down. So if it's him instilling his own system and his beliefs into that team, I think it takes a little more time. If it's him just cracking a whip and trying to carry on with what was already instilled in the team, that's something different. I still don't think that they're at the point now where they're going to take it to us on Saturday.
I wish I had that level of confidence. You know, one thing that kind of concerns me a little bit, and it's when it comes to style, it's hard to kind of nail down what Nash Ball was. A lot of it was kind of balls in the air, sending long balls and praying to whatever deity. And Mora's style, based on the Vancouver game, seems to be a big focus on dominating in the midfield, having a very high press, being physical, you know, both in the amount of running and, you know, how much that demands of players. You know, and I think that can be something that is difficult to implement mid-season, because you don't have quite as much time to build up that resiliency and build up that endurance through the preseason. And so kind of shifting and focusing on that is a risk in terms of being able to pull it off, and being caught out in transition. You know, they ran a bit of a I think it was a 3-5-2 against Vancouver that did work pretty well in terms of offensive output and creating opportunities. But really what concerns me most is a strong high press in the Canadian Premier League is very difficult to get out of. Forge struggles against a high press. We struggle against a high press. There isn't really a team in this league that, when faced with that speed, when faced with that pressure, doesn't have at least a little bit of struggle, and a little bit of a challenge to really adapt to it. But of course, you know, no battle plan survives, you know, first contact with the enemy. And that's something where they're going to be looking to bring this style of play to TD, and we've got to hit them and we've got to take the initiative. And as Bryce said, really start strong. Eddie, I saw your hand shoot up, so I'll go to you, and then I'll give Christian the last word on Benjamin Mora.
The best thing about a high press is that it's not sustainable for 90 minutes at all. And if you're able to soak up that pressure and hit a couple warning shots with a counterattack, because when you're high press, you're leaving yourselves open for a counterattack, we have the players to do that. So I expect them to come out flying like that with a high press. But if we're able to, you know, start a game strong, which we haven't been doing lately, but if we can finally do that, start a game strong, soak up that pressure, and hit them on the counter, they're going to start dropping back. And the second they start dropping back, they're going to lose that midfield battle, because we have much stronger midfielders. Despite whatever tactic he wants to play, we have better skilled midfielders, and we can beat them in there. So I think as long as we can soak up that high press for the first 15 minutes with a couple warning shots, I think we got this game in the bag. But if we show up like how we did against Pacific, you're right, we probably might get cooked.
It's a risk. It's a risk. You know, and this is a team that has shown a lot of resilience in ATO. So I'm hopeful that we'll be able to really knock them off their game plan as soon as possible to really add some chaos and get that result. Richard, welcome to the show. I'll turn to you before I turn to Christian, because I hear from him enough. So I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on Mora or even the tactics that you're hoping to see.
No, I'm sorry. I mean, I have to pop off here. So I just want to make my one point for the week before I go. And it's not about York. I don't give a toss about them. I just think we need to be making a bit more about the bloke who's come to a new league, got four yellows in the first four games. And I assume he's, by that point, has come to the realization of the standard of the reffing, and then has gone the next five without getting one, and so he has taken one yellow card away. Because I think if he isn't out there, then suddenly there's question marks at the right back position. And he's done all this in the last five games without curtailing any of his, shall we say, Millwall enthusiasm for the game. Thanks.
Richard, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. And no, I agree. I think having Twardek make that adjustment is something that a lot of players have to do coming into this league for the first time. And I think a number of those were cards that were very harsh, we'll say, that I don't know that we'll see again, or I hope we won't see again. But no, getting that first good boy point, as I call them, to pull that yellow off the board and give him a little bit more breathing room, I think that's going to be phenomenal in terms of building up that confidence. And I'm hopeful that he'll be able to knock another one of those yellows off before we get 2-2 late in the season. That way, he's able to really play that full-on game that he likes to, that I think he, Aparicio, and Mateo all really thrive in, of putting everything out on the field. But Christian, I'll give you one last word on New York before we head to some announcements.
For sure. I'll touch on a couple of the points that were previously made. I agree. I think it's very good that Twardek is back off another yellow. So we need to keep him available for the season in terms of putting our best 11 forward every game. So good to see him. Good to see him collect those good boy points, like you said. And then I guess I'll touch on a little bit of the points made by Eddie earlier. I mean, I know he made two very valid points, but yeah, he mentioned Merriman and when we played Merriman the three times this season already. It's going to be definitely an interesting tactical change from a manager, Benjamin Mora, in terms of someone a little bit more attacking with the 3-5-2. And I think that one of our biggest struggles this season, I know we're undefeated and top of the table, but I think our defense is still giving us a little bit of a reason to be concerned this year. So it's going to be interesting to test them. Like I mentioned earlier in the first 45, make sure we get a good first 45 out of the way. So gotta play well against an attacking team that wants a point, especially at TD Place. You know, they have history here. It's going to be an interesting tactical matchup with the new manager coming in.
Wonderful. Well, we'll jump into a couple of announcements. Christian, take us away.
Of course. Welcome back to Hearing My Voice. Follow us on all of our socials at Capital City SG because we have tons of information that is shared, as well as great videos, clips, and content all around match day and just about the work that we're doing. So make sure to follow our socials to keep up to date with everything ATO and CCSG and enjoy the best that our social team has to offer.
Become a member of CCSG today. We'd absolutely love to have you. $20 gets you access to our members-only Discord, where we find out a lot of little nuggets of information earlier than most people do. Get first access to road trips, exclusive merch, and much more. And if you're a student, you can take $5 off, so it's only $15. If you're already a member, be sure to check regularly our members-only page on our website and the announcement channel on our Discord for the latest in CCSG news. I'll take a quick moment to apologize for not getting email newsletters out. We are hoping to get those rolling so that we can also keep you appraised, even if you're not on socials and you avoid a few other platforms. So we're trying to stay connected as much as we can. And if there are ways to improve that, be sure to reach out.
And another reminder that this Saturday's match is Euro-themed with the Euros coming up. So make sure, if you're not already involved in the CCSG fundraiser, to pay attention because those are games that you do not want to miss. And this Saturday, of course, you will get a discount. Well, not this Saturday, but this Saturday is the Euro-themed game. So if you're missing a little bit of Euro-drip, a little bit of a European swag in your closet, make sure to check out... you will get a discount from the store at TD Place if you are wearing a kit from a European team. So make sure to represent this weekend. And if you need one and want something classic with a little tasteful style, check out Passe Vintage Clothing at 193 Preston Street, Ottawa, Ontario, because they are working with us on an upcoming video series. And Cal and all of them are great friends of ours. So let them know CCSG sent you and go pick up something nice for this weekend.
We have also partnered with Pride Razor again this Pride Month in order to raise some funds for Kindspace. Kindspace is a community center here in Ottawa that offers resources, events, social, and educational programming. All of their work celebrates, supports, and prioritizes oppressed sexual orientations, gender identities, and expressions. So far, we've only managed to get $33 per goal pledged, and we're really looking to get that up towards the 100 mark, and every pledge helps. I know the team's on fire with 4 goals already, but we're really looking to make a serious impact. So be sure to check out our socials for the link to the Pride Razor so that you can really help us make a positive impact on this community.
And join us at Glebe Central Pub for the pregame pints, chats, and watch parties. We will be there this Saturday before kickoff and after the final whistle. And we will be there for all the Copa America, Olympics, and Euros matches upcoming. The GCP is CCSG's home pub for the 2024 season, and we hope to see you there. That's at Glebe Central Pub, 779 Bank Street. And now back to the show.
You know, Christian, something in going through, oh, who should we worry about from York a little bit earlier, is of course York's biggest challenge year over year is always keeping their roster healthy. As of their game last week, as we mentioned, Babouli, Wright, and now Baldissimo were all out with injury. Giraldo went down with another new injury. You know, Ricci was away in Italy. We don't know if he'll be back in time. And that's something that, unfortunately, Ottawa can sympathize with a little more than usual this year. Of course, we had a few preseason or early season injuries that seemed to be lasting for the rest of the year. Of course, Johnny Grant, we knew off the bat, would not be returning. But now Kevin DeSantos, still being on crutches, is really worrying to see from a fan perspective. So we're really, really rooting for you, Kevin, and hoping to see you back on the pitch sometime soon. Tissot is also out. And if you read the forward press on our website, which I highly recommend you do, you'd know that it has been estimated that he will be out for approximately a month. Of course, these are guesses and estimates based on how things are going in training. If things improve or get worse, that will shift. But it means that we've got a couple of key players who are already out and some knocks. You know, Morer had taken one a couple weeks ago and still not starting suggests that he's not quite up to snuff yet. And Tablo, of course, has had a few, all of which have gone uncalled, which breaks my heart as a Balutheran. But I got to ask, Christian, how important are these guys missing time, and how are these teams going to adapt?
You know, it's the CPL, so nobody can stay injury-free, especially playing on the turf that we do. So it's one of the main concerns, I think, for a title-winning squad over the season, over the course of the whole season. So a lot of ATO fans, I know, were quite concerned when Tissot went down against Pacific. So it's nice to hear that it's not a season ender and that he could potentially take the field again for us this season. So, yeah, I think that York United have definitely struggled a lot more disproportionately this season in terms of injuries, you know, especially early in the season. I know they were missing a couple of their key defensive players. I know in the first game that they started Niall Higgins against us. So it's quite an interesting perspective. So looking at it last week, I know you've mentioned their key players, Babouli, Wright, and maybe Ricci might be gone with either injury or lack of fitness. So either way, coming back into it, looking at their lineup last weekend playing against a team who are looking better this season, but still looking to find that defensive identity in that shape, which they've made certain key contributions to in Vancouver. So I think that with the attacking lineup that they put up last weekend, I don't really worry too much about their side. Obviously, we saw what Ottawa was like without Didic, and we struggled a little bit. So we're waiting to see a little bit more from the backup center backs. But we've definitely proved that our midfield and even our attacking line with KDS's injury can still suffice for a title winning or for a title. I don't want to speak too soon, for a league leading campaign so far. So it'll be a interesting question mark, but no, I'm not too worried about injuries in this stage, but looking down the season, we definitely want to rotate.
Yeah, and it's always a little stressful. And Eddie, I'll turn to you next. You know, it's always difficult when injuries end up sidelining a campaign, especially with a team like us who are in a position that is very tight to the cap. There isn't a whole lot of wiggle room. And with Jonathan Grant already taking up the season-long and cap prevention, I guess, function, we may be able to create roster room, but we won't be able to create cap space for any long-term injuries. But, Eddie, we're going over to you. What do you think about these players missing time? How important are they, and how big a factor do you think that's going to be?
I just want to know, who the hell is York's athletic therapist? Because clearly whoever it is sucks at their job, because these players are getting injured every single season. Like, I understand with our injuries, Johnny Grant, I mean, he was injury prone. It sucks, but this was expected. Tissot playing on garbage turf, also expected with how old he was. Kevin Dos Santos was, you know, a foul, which wasn't called, and he just honestly just a freak accident. But with York, I don't know what's going on there. With in terms of Ottawa, I think it's a warning shot for Cargo to, you know, get some rotations in. Obviously, we're entering a very tough stretch of games. We're playing as Calgary, Forge, Pacific, York, obviously. So it's going to be tough to play some depth players. But I think game management, when you know you're playing well, you know, I think the podcast mentioned this. Maybe I want to see more air start over Balu Tabla. Balu's a player where if he keeps playing, I think he can get injured too, you know? Antonoro hasn't been playing the best, but I don't think he's been playing in the position he should be playing. It's just one of those things where game management from Cargo, especially when you have games down locked or different strategies. I want to see some more subs because it's going to start heating up. Weather's going to start getting warmer. Cramps are going to happen more. It's something to worry about because we have so many injuries starting up. And luckily, it hasn't been too many key players, but it definitely can happen. So Cargo, make some subs. I think the first player should be Balu Tabla. I want to see more air start. I'm with Johnny, man. I want to see a full 90 from him.
So do I. And really, I do think it's a matter of just a little bit of an injury kind of concern where the full 90 might not be necessarily in him just yet. I think that is a factor. I don't have any real conclusive evidence of such. But based on the fact that he didn't start 2 weeks ago because of a knock, it suggests that that might be something that's repeating itself a little bit. Bryce, I'll turn to you next. What do you think of the existing injuries and how much of a factor is that going to be this weekend?
I don't think it's going to be that much of a thing for us. I don't, because those injuries that we have, the ones that are major, we knew they were major. We knew they were longer term. So there's obviously a plan for dealing with them. Now, one thing we haven't mentioned yet is, you know, Fernando leaving. I think right now, maybe that takes some of the magic out and be able to find some bodies later in the season. You know, some of those other leagues are kind of finished now and finding a loan from elsewhere. I think maybe JD doesn't have the same kind of magic yet that Fernando had. So I think we might be dealing with what we have in the room right now. I'm a little more optimistic that Tiso's injury isn't as bad as we first thought and that he'll come back. But Morer, I definitely want to see more play from him. You know, that cross that he had to Zapater in the 100th minute of that Halifax game, I want to see more like that because I think he has a lot more of that in him. He's got some great control when he's in the middle, and I definitely want to see more of that. But I also think that some movement in our back line, some more minutes for Tier Walker, because let's still remember how far behind we are in U21 minutes. So maybe this is an opportunity for him to get some more experience, for us to get some more minutes for him, and maybe this will be one of the benefits we get out of this position.
And, you know, I think when it comes to Tier, one of the challenges is giving him game time so that he can adjust and be better. When we just have two studs at that position, you know, it's hard to sit Luke Singh or Amir Didic. Of course, I think that we saw that Didic is really the better pairing for Tier, just for that kind of stability and calming presence and more veteran presence at the back. But I also think that there is kind of a clear impact in net on our defenders and their ability to really, you know, function as a unit. And part of that comes from the return of the Kingham. That's right, Nate getting back between the posts. You know, he earned a clean sheet last week, even though there wasn't a whole lot asked of him in terms of saves. And I think really what distinguishes Yesley and Ingham, who, you know, Yesley, who has had a really great season with us, and I'm loving his development. I think his distribution has been phenomenal. I think he has made some incredible saves and really kept us in games. But I think one difference is that Ingham has that experience and that ability to kind of organize the back line a little more authoritatively. And I think that's more, that's not a knock to Yesley or anything. That's simply a statement to, or a testament really, to Nate's experience and leadership on this team. So I think that's a key factor that's going to be part of the conversation when Cargo has to make the decision of who starts on Saturday in net. And this is a phenomenal challenge to have in terms of having two players with somewhat different profiles who are both great shot stoppers, who are both, you know, very competent in net. It really gives us a lot of flexibility. And Christian, I'll pass it over to you. What did you think of Nate's return against Valor?
You know, I think that you made a lot of interesting points, especially how the defense feels with who's behind them. But, you know, experience is something that we really need, especially in the back line for commanding presence. And I think that while Yesli has done superb, I'm not going to fault Yesli at all. I think that, actually, you know what, I am going to fault him. I think that some of the more recent games that he's played, I think that he parries a lot of shots that maybe Nathan Ingham would catch, and I think we can see far too many corners with him in net. But no, I'm super happy to have Nate back, and looking forward to how he does upon his return from injury going forward. So yeah, no, I think that both keepers do a lot of similar things well, but Nate certainly stands out in terms of certain things, in terms of distribution and maybe catching and releasing quicker than Yesli does. But we'll see. You know, I welcome a little bit of competition, and I think a lot of people have said earlier in the hot stoves that Yesli maybe wasn't brought in to actually be a challenger to Nate Ingham's number one spot. So yeah, I think that Yesli is going to understand that if he has to drop back to the bench for the next couple games, that we'll be fine, and I'm not really too worried about it.
I think one thing that Cargo does emphasize quite a bit is that kind of earn the spot and kind of focus in on that kind of competition. Now, how one earns that spot is a mystery that, unfortunately, I lack the answers to. But I do think that there's definitely a competition there, and that competition is pushing them both to great heights. You know, I think that there's a lot of opportunities there. And Bryce, what did you think about the Valor game and, well, not the Valor game as a whole, but really just Nate's return to his spot between the sticks?
Well, I did talk to him after that Halifax game, and I knew that he was feeling a lot better. That, you know, this is injury he's had before, and he felt really good about the way that it was healing and how he felt. And I did actually talk to him a little bit about the two keeper situation. And I let you know last week that there wasn't any animosity there, that's not a, you know, a huge battle for number one. These are two guys that are supporting each other and know that both of them being on this team is what's making them each better week in and week out. So I'm happy that Nate is back there. I do think that, you know, he does know a few of these guys a little bit better. And, you know, especially when you're saying like Zapater, I mean, can Yesli come in and have a relationship with Zapater? Or is that something that takes a few months or half a season that Nate had with him last year to kind of gel? So I do think there's something to be said there for how Nate organizes the team. But, you know, Yesli is a young kid. And, you know, Yesli is probably going to be our keeper or number one in a couple of years. So right now, I'm just enjoying both of them playing as well as can be. I want Nate to stay healthy. I think he does give us the best foot going forward in these league games.
And look, I'm guilty. I'm a keeper. I love talking and gushing about these two guys because I find them to be phenomenal players. And I really appreciate all the work that they both put in for this team. So it is something of a recurring theme, but it's just partially because we are so fortunate to really have those two superb options. And unfortunately, I don't think we have time to wait in terms of Yesli starts, because I think this is a guy who can fetch a pretty penny down the road for, you know, Ottawa or whoever he plays for, because I think he does have a lot of potential and he's been able to really live up to it this year. Eddie, you know, a lot has been said on the keepers. I'll give you a last word on it before we move on. What were your thoughts on Nate's return to the Golden?
I mean, it was a classic Nate. Obviously, he didn't have to do much, but it's always good to see him. I think because he started against Valor, I think he's starting against York. My feeling is that Cargo wanted to give Nate an easier game to get back into the groove of things. Obviously, many people thought that, yes, he would start against his former club, but I think because Ingham started, we're going to see him against York on Saturday.
And that's just fine. That's just fine. And speaking of people we want to see, you know, we've talked a lot about, you know, Danny Morea getting a start. I think that's something that we're all looking forward to. He is a very gifted player, technically. And I think people have been a little bit overly critical of some of our set pieces in terms of their delivery from our favorite Ginger Prince in Mr. Bassett. Of course, Ollie's not perfect, and he's had a couple not ideal corners or free kicks. But I'm not so sure that there's an adjustment we make in terms of who takes those set pieces. However, with all of his technical gifts, I got to ask Christian, do you think Morea should be taking some corners and should be taking some set pieces?
I think he should. You know, he's obviously not the tallest person, but I think we've seen he's got a couple assists already this season. I think he also assisted Salter's goal against Pacific in the 2-1 loss, and it was quite a nice cross. I mean, obviously Salter had some work to do still, but no, I think that Danny Morea has shown a lot of quality throughout the season in terms of passing, crossing the ball from a play perspective. So it'll be interesting to see how he does on dead ball situations. You know, him and Ollie, I feel, are maybe interchangeable depending on how they want to play the corner. I mean, obviously they're both quality with their right foot, so it's going to be interesting to see. I would agree. I think Ollie, in terms of a presence, maybe as a receiver of the second ball headed out, you know, and Danny Morea crossing it in and hustling back or getting in position for another ball into the box, I think that's a better option than Ollie.
Fair enough. And again, I think we're also very blessed with a couple of absolutely beautiful balls from Morea. And we've seen Ollie do a lot of beautiful things as well. But a lot of the times it's the negatives that stick with you. Eddie, how are you feeling about Morea taking some more corners and giving Bastard a bit of a break on those set pieces?
I think outside of maybe Zapatero, Morea is the most technically gifted player on this team. I mean, he's from Spain. As the podcast always says, because of his height, because of his pace, he's not good enough for Spain, but in Canadian Premier League, he is a class above everyone else. And you can see when he plays. His technique on these crosses are phenomenal. And I mean, I love Ollie Bassett, but Bassett's set pieces are such a frustrating element. They either don't clear the first defender or they go sailing over the entire box. It's very rare that we get a good corner. I like to see Morea. I think the theme is I want to see Morea more than anything. I feel like we have a super talent here that we're kind of holding back. And I really just want to see him at different situations in the game and see what he can do. Because I think he honestly can be what our Balotelli was back when we won the league last time.
You know, and I think it's hard to deny Morea's talent. But there is that question of consistency, and having someone consistent on those set pieces is often a boon for stability. But Bryce, we'll turn it over to you. What do you think about Morea on set piece duty?
Well, let's remember who number two on our set pieces was, and it was Tiso. So right now it's like Ollie or nothing. So yeah, I'd like to see him at least those ones from the left corner. I'd like to see him take some set pieces. Otherwise, maybe there are. Do we have more options that could be there? Are there some others? Maybe Zapatero could come and start taking some more set pieces too. I know what we're saying, just because we've seen the crosses from Morea that maybe he should start taking them. But I think the issue is really how weak those deliveries into the box have been from Ollie. And it reminds me of how little service we were getting into the box all last season. So I think it's something that could have changed as early as last season. But I think we need to get some more people into the mix.
And there's other options at rotation as well. I think Manny Aparicio has taken his fair share of corners for in his time at Pacific. You know, there is a lot of talent on this team. But I do think, again, that's there is some wisdom in stability and some level of consistency with what to expect out of who's taking the corner and things like that. So we will see whether or not that adjustment is made. And, you know, with another question mark comes our offense and how we kind of get it clicking again. You know, I think that Sam Salter's goal was actually a very impressive solo effort and, you know, a well-played ball out to him. I believe that was from Sissoko. You know, but aside from that, the attack hasn't really been living up to, I think, the standard they've set for themselves and the amount of talent that they have. So, Christian, I gotta know, how do we reignite that offensive spark? Do we follow Joey's advice on the podcast and give Tabla a rest? Do we change it up with Salter up top? What do we need to do to really bring that offense back online?
You know, I'm gonna call someone out here, and I'm gonna call out Eddie because he's made a couple points on the podcast so or on the hot soap tonight that I don't fully agree with. And him and Joey can both take it. You know, I think that I disagree with both of their suggestions that we should be sitting Tabla. You know, Tabla, I've slated him a lot, especially on the hot stove, but I think that despite him getting on the end of a lot of chances that we would like to see him finish, I don't think any other player on Ottawa's team gets on the end of those chances or creates those opportunities at all to be in a position to score like Tabla does. You know, it's tough that he hasn't hit the scoring boot this year, but no, I disagree. I think I would love to see Tabla start on the wings, maybe with, you know. It also brings it back to the point of should Danny Maurer start? And it's kind of the question of where does he start? Does he start over Twardek at right wing? And does he start over Twardek at right back? You know, but I think that the two of them can maybe coexist. You know, I think that we have a stable enough defensive core in the midfield and the defense and the center back pairing of Didic and Singh. So I think that either attacking wing back could push up and play winger. So it'll be interesting to see. But no, I think that Tabla should continue to start for Ottawa. And no, I as much of a fan as I am of Salter, I don't believe that he should start. I think he should continue to be a late game threat off the bench where he's provided a couple goals so far this season. And obviously Del Campo has shown the form to be a starting striker for Ottawa this year. So no, Tabla, Del Campo, and Morera Twardek. That's my starting three.
And, you know, of course, Eddie has a right of reply here, and I'll hand it over to him in just a moment. But I just wanted to mention that Tabla's best position this year has been on the left wing. That is where he has had the most success. And that would put him in a formation with Morera rather than competing with him. The big question then is, does Antti Noro fall out of the starting 11 and what that does to our U21 prospects in terms of minutes? Our favorite conversation that I'm sure will definitely go away someday. But Eddie, I'll let you respond to a little bit of Christian's opposition to some of the rest of Ballou desires coming from the fandom.
Everyone has eyes. Everyone can see he's exhausted. He's exhausted on the field. There's people, you know, discussions whether he was in the best of shape still. He's exhausted, man. At the end of the day, it's not like Cargo's putting him in his right position. He's supposed to be on the left wing, and Cargo doesn't put him in the left wing, and then he's not playing well. I'm pretty sure in this Valor game, obviously it's FOTMOP, who cares? But under the FOTMOP ratings, Ballou was the only one that didn't have any green. He was like a 6.7. He's exhausted. He's trying too much. Whenever Morera comes on as a sub, he's totally better. It brings a new life. Bring some new energy. I don't think there's any harm in putting Ballou on the bench for one game and then bringing him on as a sub. I don't think maybe that's a wake-up call for him. Maybe that's what he needs to have that sudden burst to come on and bring some energy. But listen, at some point, something has to change. And it's not like it doesn't look like him it's not like he's going to change much. I think put him on the bench. It doesn't mean anything. Explain to him, hey, get some rest. Worst thing we need is to him get injured. Because right now, he does not look himself. He looks tired on the field. His decision-making is very poor. And you have a better product in Morea right now, who's just waiting to get more minutes. I think this Saturday, start Morea. It's against York. We have some tough matches coming up, and we really got to make sure our players are ready. And I don't know if we can have Balu limping through our games right here. So start Morea, see what we got, and work with that.
And look, I think that there is something to be said for Balu's challenges this year. And I think there's also a little bit more credit he is due for what he's managed to generate that might not necessarily always appear as a big chance, but is in itself an opportunity that he manages to make. I'm wary only of ensuring that we don't put too much on the guy. At the end of the day, if he is struggling with fitness or other things, I know we've had a few knocks and a few fouls that have gone not uncalled on him. You know, that does create, you know, a mentally taxing situation in many ways. So I think that Tabla still has tons of quality and has shown a good amount of that quality. It's just tough when we know he can do better, and we know that he's really capable of more, and we just haven't quite seen that little bit more out of him. And Bryce, we'll turn it to you. What do you think is the change that needs to kind of happen to kickstart this offense and get us firing on all cylinders again?
Well, first off, it's not as bad as we're making it out to be. I mean, we have way more home goals than we've had in previous seasons. We are scoring goals. We are winning games. So I don't really care if we're winning by two goals or three goals, or we're squeaking out a win. If we're getting those 3 points, we're getting those 3 points. So I don't, until we're not winning games, until we're only getting draws, until we start, you know, we start missing five shots in a game and not picking up points, then we can start to worry. Right now, it's how do we play consistently from game to game to game? And right now, I think we have enough guys that can put the ball in the net that's not really an issue. You know, maybe Balu should sit for a little bit. He did sit in that CanChamp game when we had a bunch of our good players on the bench. You know, I don't think that really matters. I think maybe that's part of all that talk from the talking heads earlier this year about how we had too many stars and where would we find the minutes. Maybe we have to just start sitting some of those guys a little bit more and giving them some more rest when they can, because we have the bodies to pick up the slack and to play well. So as long as that system is working, as long as those other players are working, I think any of these players should be able to take a break when it's needed. I don't know if he's got a bigger knock than we think or not, but I'm not too worried. Again, I think there's another situation that Balu is going to score. He's going, you know, he's not playing all around terribly. He's just not having some of the success that he's had in the past. But maybe that's his game now. I'm not too worried about it. He's still a valuable member of this team, and I still think that he's going to do a lot this season.
I agree. I think his best football is still ahead of him, and whether he needs a rest or not, I think we've got to kind of leave it to him, to Cargo, and the team to really make that call. Of course, not like we get to make it anyhow. But thank you so much, everyone, for sharing your thoughts with us tonight and jumping into this discussion. We're coming to the end of the show, and of course, we've got one last piece of business before we get into some closing announcements, and that is your score predictions and the players you are most excited to see on the pitch on Saturday. Christian, we're starting with you. What's your score prediction? Who are you looking forward to?
You know, I think it's going to be maybe a tight game for the first half. We're going to score. They're going to score in the first half, but the second half, we're going to score another two unanswered goals, and we're going to win 3-1. Goals from Del Campo, Bassett, and Salter. But I'm most excited to see Sammy Salter, of course, always. You know, he scored last weekend, so maybe a couple more minutes off the bench this week for him.
There we go. Eddie, we'll turn it to you next. Who are you most excited to see, and what is your score prediction?
I'm going with a 2-1 win for Atletico Ottawa, and I mean, it's the theme of the night. I'm most excited to see Danny Maurer, and I think he scores.
Let's see it. Let's see it. You know, I'm real excited to see him too. But Bryce, who are you most excited to see on the pitch, and what is your score prediction?
Well, player of the week last week. He's going to have a great big game this week. He's going to score our goal. We're going to win 1-0. It's going to be kind of a retro Atletico game. So De Bruyne's going to score one in the first half, and then we're going to park that bus and get a 1-0 win.
I'd love another clean sheet to add to the collection. For me, I think it's going to be a very tough affair. I'm going to go with a 1-1 draw. I think that both teams are really going to want a result here. Both have a lot to prove. And I think it's going to be a very stressful day on Saturday, but one that we will enjoy all together. And hopefully we will also see a little bit of Abu Sakho. You know, I think in all these discussions of rotation, I would really like to see a little bit more of him, either if that's on the wing, if that's, you know, giving De Bruyne a little bit more room to roam and taking over at that left wing back position, whatever it may be. I'm hoping that we see a little bit of Sakho with a sprinkling of Roy to make the Saturday extra magical. And that brings us to the end of our show. Thank you once again to all of our participants. And be sure to follow us on all our socials at Capital City SG. A lot of news, a lot of content always dropping, and you don't want to miss a beat. So be sure to go and follow us there.
And if you are not a member yet, become one by visiting capitalcitysupporters.com. $20 for the year, $15 if you're a student. You'll get access to member exclusive events, merch, road trips, Discord access, and you'll find out news first. And if you are a member, make sure to regularly check our membership page for our website and our announcements channel on Discord for the latest.
While you're on the website, be sure to check out the latest from our writers team. We have the Forward Press, summarizing all pre- and post-game pressers, Match Day in Review, which was just posted this evening. If you'd like to relive the Valor 2-0 win, you can certainly do so there. And you can always catch any games that you miss in a nice summary for you. And of course, our weekly player ratings, where you can see how each player did on the day.
Check out the ATL podcast. The best way to spend your Tuesday mornings is by listening to our beloved hosts break down the past week's Atletico Ottawa game. Their past week covers the Valor win in depth, so be sure to check on all your favorite podcast platforms for ATO After the Whistle.
And GCP is your home for pre- and post-game drinks after a day of football action. Join us at 779 Bank Street for drinks before and after the game on Saturday, and of course for all of Copa America, the Euros, and the Olympics. Reminder, Canada's first Copa match is fast approaching, and we will be co-hosting a watch party with the Voyageurs. That's going to be at the Glebe Central Pub, kicking off Thursday night at 8 p.m. against Argentina. Do not show up at 8 p.m. You will not have a space. Please try and be there early to make sure that you've got a spot to enjoy the game with us. That's at the Glebe Central Pub, CCSG's home pub for the 2024 season, and Ottawa's temple of football.
And don't forget to monitor Ottawa's social for the latest on our Pride Razor campaign. Also, at home games, be on the lookout for a chance to star in CCSG's latest show, Full Time, which is available on our YouTube channel, chronicling the reactions of ATO fans after every home match. Be sure to join our beloved host, Harry, to share your thoughts after every home game under the Jumbotron.
That just about wraps it up for us tonight. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for joining in on the conversation, and we look forward to continuing these conversations ahead of the match on Saturday. We hope to hear from you all again next week, and a reminder to grab those Euro kits to get that in-store discount at the game on Saturday. Christian, send us off.
Vamos, Sam Salter. Vamos, Atleti.
You'll love to hear it. Good night, folks.